Hello, I'm with Scott Ritter. He's a former UN weapons inspector and a political analyst and geopolitical analyst. And Scott, thank you for joining the Trends Journal.
Thanks for having me.
Netanyahu is obviously in Washington this week. And this is a question that Trump was asked about a two-state solution. And I'd like to hear your response to what Trump said.
Do you think that there can be a two-state solution that creates an independent
power? I don't know. I'd ask Bibi that question. You have the greatest man in the world to answer that age-old question, two-state. Go ahead. You give him your honest answer.
I think Palestinians should have all the powers to govern themselves, but none of the powers to threaten us. And that means that certain powers, like overall security, will always remain in our hands. Now, that is a fact. And no one in Israel will agree to anything else because we don't commit suicide.
When I heard Trump's reaction to the reporter, I was surprised that he would defer to Netanyahu with that answer. Were you as surprised?
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know, Winston Churchill being asked about, the final solution for the Jews. He said, well, I'm going to defer to Himmler over there. Yeah, you're the best man for this. Why don't you tell us how you're going to kill all the Jews in the Holocaust? You're the best qualified. And Himmler says, yeah, we're going to round them up, put them in concentration camps, and then we're going to exterminate them. And everybody goes, yeah, because that's what this is. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is a modern day, Heinrich Himmler. He is a mass murdering, genocidal son of a bitch. He's been indicted for war crimes. He is the leader of a nation that has been labeled genocidal by the International Court of Justice, sort of the supreme arbiter of war crimes and international law. And he was invited to the United States by a president who just carried out an act of aggression against Iran that violates the Constitution of the United States. It violates international law. So you have a warmonger asking the practitioner of genocide about the final solution of the Palestinian people. That's it in a nutshell. It's humiliating for Americans. It should be enraged the entire civilized world that the United States of America, a nation that proclaims itself to be the bastion of democracy, freedom, etc., would give the stage to a murderous genocidal maniac and to defer to this murderous genocidal maniac on the issue of how to resolve the problem that he's already decided genocide is the solution to.
Are you surprised that Trump was so the fact that this wasn't behind the scenes, this was in front of the cameras? And, people always had a suspicion that Netanyahu called the shots in Washington when it comes to Middle East policy. Was this an example of that just going to a whole new level? Or are you surprised by that element of this, that Trump's no longer even hiding it, that this is right in front of the press's face?
But nobody's hiding it. Kash Patel, the FBI director. First question asked, what's your top priority as the FBI director? To see to the safety and security of Israel. This is the FBI director. Dan Bongino, his deputy. First question, what's your top priority? The safety and security of Israel. The spokesperson of the United States State Department said that Israel is, the greatest nation in the world. Donald Trump has called Israel the greatest nation in the world. This is an American president. Sometimes people get a little upset when the Americans like to, pound their chest and, are accused of, chauvinism and all that. I'd much rather have a chauvinistic president who proclaimed the glory of the United States of America than a president that sits there and, while he's sitting as the commander in chief, saying Israel's the greatest nation in the world. That is humiliating. We have debased ourselves beyond belief. So no, it didn't surprise me at all. This is a president that is 100% sold out to Israel. We knew this even before we elected him, because he, surrounded himself with nothing but, naked Zionists, and people just straight up said, we are Zionists. We are Israel first. And that's where we are collectively as a nation. So no, it doesn't take me by surprise. What surprises me is that we, the people of the United States of America, seem to be okay with this. I mean, this is literally impeachable offenses. Remember when this very same president was impeached for a phone call he made to Volodymyr Zelensky, in which it looked like he was, currying favor or doing something like that. Here's a man who's just straight up kissing the ass of Israel, straight up kissing their ass. Doing whatever Israel wants, yielding to them on some of the most fundamental issues pertaining to the security of the United States of America. And Congress is okay with it because Congress, of course, has been bought by the state of Israel. The pro-Israeli lobby bragged about spending $100 billion to buy the best Congress money can buy, and they bought it. So Congress isn't going to do anything. This president's sold out. Have the American people sold out? And right now the answer is yes. I'd like to be proven wrong on this, but we've just basically allowed Israel to take over this country. I wrote about this a while back on my Substack page about parasites that take over the bodies of the hosts. And Israel is one such parasite that has taken over the body of the American host. And we look like America. We wrap ourselves in the American flag, but we're 100% controlled by the Israeli parasite.
We knew Trump going into office was going to be pro-Israel. We knew that. Has his support for Israel even surprised you, given what we've seen, his decision to go to war with Iran, his support for the genocide currently going on in Gaza? Are you surprised that Trump didn't have even a little more sway with Netanyahu to calm him down with some of those things? Netanyahu seems like he has full control right now of the Trump administration. Are you surprised that Trump let that happen? Because he has been critical of Netanyahu in the past. And they seemed like, years ago that they had some kind of issue, maybe a little bit of a power struggle between the two. That's all gone now. Because even after the Hamas attack back in 2023, Trump said he was surprised that Netanyahu let that happen. So he showed signs years ago or at times that he could criticize Netanyahu. That seems like it's no longer even possible.
Yeah. And so you have to ask yourself the question, why is this? Was Trump always a snake oil salesman, a grifter, a con artist? Was he just giving us the big con, the big lie? Or did something happen that prompted his immediate turn? I remember Donald Trump used to be feeding, along with Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, and others, feeding the Epstein files to the American public before the election is red meat. We're going to get the Epstein files. First thing we're going to do is release the Epstein files. All those names on that list are coming out. This is going to happen. Trump was saying it. Everybody was saying it. And about the same time that Netanyahu comes in and takes over the United States is when the attorney general and the head of the FBI have decided that there are Epstein files, that, Epstein committed suicide, that there are no files. There's no client list. There's no blackmail list. There's none of this, which is just a straight up lie because we know there's an Epstein file. Not the file in the sense that Epstein assembled all these names in a convenient single location that was cross-referenced to dates that criminal activity took place with the names of the victims and evidence of this. No. But there is the record, the judicial record, the documentary record of more than 130 victims' testimony against the perpetrators of these crimes that were committed against them by people who were operating under the umbrella of Epstein's a nefarious operation. We know the names of the people involved. We know their positions. We know the crimes they committed. We know the list. We, the people of the United States of America, already have this list. And yet we've chosen to ignore it. Instead, buying into the subterfuge, the fiction that there was going to be one great, big, beautiful list. Pam Bondi promised it. She handed out the empty binders, promising to fill them up. No, she's not going to release that because, as Elon Musk has hinted, maybe name number one on that list is Donald Trump. And there's other names on that list that they can't allow to be put out there because of the damage it will do to the institution that Israel has taken control of through its blackmail operations. One of the reasons why they will never release or act on the Epstein file is because it's an Israeli operation. And we just talked about who's calling the shots. The Epstein entity that he was running still exists. It's been handed off to the next Epstein, who continues to control everybody in Washington, D.C. to the same level that Epstein did. This is an Israeli intelligence operation. If people can't see that, if they're unwilling to understand that, so be it. But I'm going to call it as I see it. And we know for a fact that this is 100% an Israeli intelligence operation designed to control the levers of power in the United States through sexual blackmail.
I'm wondering, does Donald Trump, how does he get past this? He said he had an explosive interaction with a reporter this week, and he said, how could you bring up Epstein again? This guy was a slime ball, but we have flooding, and we're trying to get a ceasefire in Gaza. It just came off as tone deaf because so many people were promised answers, and he didn't deliver. And now it looks like the administration is playing this game of cleanup, and I don't know what the next steps are in how the administration tries to separate itself from this disastrous interaction with the media. I'm wondering, is Pam Bondi going to take the fall? Because it looks like, as far as the MAGA acolytes out there in the MAGA media, it looks like people are blaming Bondi for overpromising, that there were never these files. And Bondi, who's, I think Megyn Kelly said, Bondi was this person who wanted the limelight on Fox News, and she overpromised, and now she has to kind of go. So I'm wondering what the administration does to separate themselves further from Epstein, if this will even go away.
Well, if you're going to sacrifice Bondi, you have to sacrifice Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, because they're just as guilty as using their various media platforms and media asset access in the lead up to President Trump's inauguration, selling the reality of an Epstein file and the guarantee that once they get into a position of power, this file will be released. I mean, Dan Bongino especially has made political hay out of this, and Cash Patel as well. So this isn't simply something that's going to go away because Pam Bondi is sacrificed. You know, this is a systemic problem. I think the solution is going to be to turtle up and just stop answering questions and say it's done, and watch the American people once again lose focus. And they'll be assisted in losing focus by a compliant media and establishment, which is controlled by the Israelis, who will do everything in their power to make this an issue that's not given the its time in the limelight, that it will be pushed into the shadows and soon forgotten as a non-event, a non-entity.
So Scott, you mentioned before, one of the, obviously the wars that the U.S. got involved recently was for Israel with Iran. And I saw an interview, and I always like listening to Professor Morandi speak. I think he makes a lot of sense a lot of times. And he was on Press TV, and I'm going to just play a quick clip of what he said, and I'd like to hear your opinion. This is his fault, what he thinks is the fallout with the U.S.'s interaction with Israel for Iran.
I think it just tells us and the international community that the United States cannot be trusted at any level. The United States was carrying out negotiations with Iran. We had a series of negotiations between the Iranian foreign minister and Witkoff on behalf of Trump. And Trump said very clearly that he was against an assault on Iran hours before the assault was carried out. And then when the assault was carried out, he gloated about it, and it was clear that he was deeply involved. So it just gives the world a clear indication of how deceitful he is and how dishonest he is, and how you cannot trust the United States at the negotiating table.
So that was him. And it reminded me of a Monk debate. I'm sure you know Mike McFaul, the former Obama's guy in Moscow. It reminded me of a Monk debate. And this is Mike McFaul on stage talking to about U.S. diplomacy. I'd like you to.
In 2021, we kept reiterating that Ukraine was going to join. We kept saying that over and over again. So our diplomats are lying?
Yes.
So,
yes, that's okay. The real world, guys. Come on, come on.
That, but you could.
That's the real world.
Wait a sec. Our diplomats are lying all the time. Yet the Russians should trust them when they offer assurances.
No.
We shouldn't.
So that was it reminded me of that interaction. So how does the U.S., can it, or is it even interested in repairing its standing diplomatically across the world? How would it go about doing that after Iran and its history, even in Ukraine? Is it something that the U.S. is even interested in doing, that, or are we just this country that can't be trusted going forward?
We can't be trusted. We never could be trusted. If you remember, Julian Assange Hillary Clinton wanted him killed, wanted him droned. Why? Because he had the audacity to release the diplomatic files that showed that the United States, especially when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, all we did is lie. That we would go and say one thing in the public to heads of states and their diplomatic services, and then she would send reports back that directly contradicted that basically said, we're lying, this is what we really want, et cetera. It humiliated the United States, debased us. We are a nation of grifters. We are con artists. That's all we are. We stand for nothing. And it's been that way for some time now. I understand, diplomacy is the art of, getting what you want done and convincing other peoples that your way is the best way. You don't always have to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but you can't lie. You just, don't answer a question or answer it in a different way or emphasize one point over and over again without there's different tricks that are out there that can save you the embarrassment of being called a liar. But apparently we're not embarrassed by it anymore. We just accept the fact that Michael McFaul, that's what we do. That's it, man. It's the real world, as if the world's supposed to accept that. They're not going to. You can regain lost wealth. You can recapture lost territory. There's a whole bunch of things you can do to recoup losses. What you can't recoup is honor, integrity. Once you've been exposed as a liar, you're a liar for life and nobody will ever believe you. And this is just the sad reality of the United States of America today. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a MAGA, you're a liar, straight up liar, a 100% liar. Nobody should ever trust us again. Nobody should ever trust us again. Now they can engage in diplomacy and all this stuff, but the idea that when the United States says something, that people go, well, that's got the weight of America behind it. That's meaningless. Meaningless. It means nothing.
And now I'd like to just shift while I still have you to the Ukraine war and what's going on there. I'm going to just play. We obviously know that the Trump administration had a hard time trying to figure out which way is up with its weapons pause. And so the most recent video I have is here's Marco Rubio talking about it. I believe it's either today or yesterday. I didn't see a date, but here's Rubio.
No. I said it was a review. It was a pause pending review. And so we were constantly. The Pentagon is constantly reviewing stockpiles, especially after an engagement such as the one we had in the Middle East. So what my point is that there wasn't a policy decision not to give weapons to Ukraine. It was a review in which certain munitions were temporarily paused for that review and for that purpose. And this reporting out there that there was no awareness of it is not true now. But no policy decision was made. In essence, no one ever said we're not sending weapons to Ukraine. That's been appropriated by Congress and that's continued. And that continues to this very day. But when you're doing a review, there's some period of time in which during that review, it's possible that some shipping is slowed down, not stopped. But because it's being reviewed, someone would say, okay, well, let's not send it today. Let's wait a couple of days because we're conducting the review of that particular munition. So that was
Rubio. It reminded me of an interview that John Mearsheimer did with Judge Napolitano. And Mearsheimer said he was asked, do you think Trump's going to be able to end the Ukraine war? And Mearsheimer said, no, I don't think he's going to. This is back during the election because he won't be able to make the concessions that Putin wants and will demand. And Trump doesn't want to be the president to lose Ukraine. So do you think this is just an example of now Trump is in a tough position because he doesn't want to be politically the president to hand over parts of Ukraine to Russia. But he also is trying not to get the US into a major war. Is Trump in a very difficult position? And is his administration showing signs of strain in dealing with the Ukraine war?
Well, let's answer that question. Remember, my going in premise is Donald Trump's a liar, can't be trusted. He's a con artist, a snake oil salesman, and you know all that. But let's just put that aside for a moment, and you know, look at it from Donald Trump's perspective. His own words, according to Donald Trump, he didn't start this war. This is Joe Biden's war, and he's just trying to finish it. So, How is he losing Ukraine again? Ukraine's already lost. It's Joe Biden's war. I mean, if Donald Trump believed this is the easiest thing to sell to the American people. I'm bringing an end to a war that should never have started, but now must come to an end, and it must come to an end based upon ground truth and ground reality. The American people would understand that, accept this and everything. The only person that can't is the grifter, the con artist, Donald Trump, the egomaniac, the narcissist, because, you know, he now has to not just stop a war. His goal is never to stop the war. Donald Trump doesn't do anything for the benefit of anybody else. His goal is to come out as a peacemaker. And a peacemaker is somebody that, you know, doesn't alienate anybody in the process. He needs Russia to yield, to bend the knee, to give in, to concede. He needs Ukraine to view him as the hero, the man who intervened to save the day. That's his world. That's his universe that he's populated. And as Mr. Mearsheimer suggested, it isn't going to happen. It's a mission impossible. But this is why Donald Trump will, you know, never settle for truly ending this conflict, because this isn't about bringing an end to the war. This is about promoting the Trump brand. And the Trump brand, of course, is that of a Wyatt Earp walking down the streets of Dodge, gun on his hips, tough man. I mean, God, this is Donald Trump we're talking about. Did you know that Donald Trump one time looked Vladimir Putin in the eye and said, if you attack Kiev, I will bomb the shit out of Moscow. I will bomb the shit out of Moscow. And, you know, Vladimir Putin pooped his pants in fear and said, no, you won't. No way. And Donald Trump came back with a diplomatic way. And I mean, good God, do you listen to this moron in chief? No way. Way. What's he talking about? Putin believed me 10%. He didn't say it, but 10% he believed me. Putin, first of all, this conversation never happened. Never happened. It's made up. It's Donald Trump just making stuff up. But, you know, he can't just tell one lie, because once you're on a roll and telling lies, you might as well just double down on, you know, just being dishonest. Because he had the same conversation with Xi Jinping, you know, the head of China. Yes. He said, if you invade Taiwan, I will bomb the shit out of Beijing. And Xi Jinping pooped his pants right there. It was amazing. Donald Trump got both Putin and Xi to poop their pants and say, no way, way, no, 10%. Well, Xi Jinping apparently was like 5%.
5%, you know, yeah.
Donald Trump numbers. Is literally the dumbest man in the world and the worst liar in the world, because none of these lies are believable. When were these conversations supposed to have taken place, and in what context? Because the entire time that Trump was president, Russia was looking to enforce the Minsk Accords. Russia was making no moves to invade Ukraine or threaten Kiev. They wanted the Minsk Accords to be adhered to. It was Donald Trump that built 20 CIA bases in Ukraine. Donald Trump that built or trained a battalion of Ukrainian soldiers every 55 days to NATO standard for the purpose of going east to kill Russians in the Donbass. That was Donald Trump. This was Donald Trump that wanted this war, not Joe Biden. Donald Trump made this war happen, not Putin. So what the hell is he talking about? He just made this up. The same thing. At no time during Donald Trump's presidency was China threatening to invade Taiwan. They were unhappy with certain aspects of our policy, but they didn't say, oh, we're lining up the ships. We're ready to go. So where's the predicate for Donald Trump making? Because literally what he's doing is threatening the American people with nuclear suicide. Because the appropriate response to somebody says, I'll be compelled to bomb the shit out of Moscow, is to say, then I'll be compelled to unleash the totality of the Russian strategic nuclear forces and your entire country will disappear. And I don't give a flying fuck, because I've already said that we'll be dead, but you'll be go to hell and we'll go to heaven as martyrs. If that's what you want, Mr. Trump, you got it. And I also want to remind the American public, and I apologize for that language, but I'm a little mad right now. When Gerald Celente swears worse than that, so I figure I can do it.
That's true.
But, you know, Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin for the first time as president in Helsinki. And if you remember this meeting, it was notable for a couple things, where Donald Trump met with only a translator present. But more importantly is the body language. Now, remember, this is Donald Trump. I mean, he's Mr. Big Hands. And you know what that means? You know, he's Mr. Big. He's huge. He's Donald Trump, man. He's good Lord. He walks into a room and he owns it. Donald Trump. Well, they came walking out. Putin, who's shorter than Donald Trump, by the way, came walking out. He came out first. Putin walked as you'd expect a national leader to walk. Cocky, get the tie, got the hitch in his step, head up. He's in command. Donald Trump comes out. Literally, look at the video. Hunched over, look down. That's a man who just got his ass handed to him. Did he threaten Putin in that one? Because if he did, apparently Putin said something back that made Donald Trump poop his pants, because that's a poopy pant Trump that came out of there. Literally a man who shit himself in fear. That's the reality. Donald Trump isn't man enough to make the statement that he claims to have made, because that takes balls. That takes courage. That takes a man ready to take it to the next level. Donald Trump is never ready to take it to the next level. Even when he took it to the next level with Iran, he didn't. He bombed three empty sites and gave the Iranians advance notice. Gave the Iranians advance notice that seven of the most expensive pieces of American military hardware were going to be flying in a known path over Iranian airspace. He did it because he knew the Iranians weren't going to contest it. That the Iranians knew that this was a sham. The get out of jail card for Trump, who had boxed himself into a tough situation and called the Iranians and said, I got to get out of this war, but we're going to do it. I got to drop bombs on empty facilities. So here we come. This is the path we're going to take. Don't shoot us down. That's what happened. That's the reality. That's not a man. That's not the guy who's confident. That's the act of a coward. And Donald Trump is the biggest coward that ever occupied the White House in the history of the United States of America. And there's been some pretty lame people that have occupied that spot. But Donald Trump is the lamest of them all. He never made this statement to Vladimir Putin. He never made this statement to Xi Jinping. And the fact that the media is going to let him get away with this is, again, a humiliation. But I'm not going to let him get away with it. He needs to be asked the question every time. When did you say this to Vladimir Putin? Exactly when?
We're having some technical difficulties, so we have to cut the interview short, unfortunately. But please, everyone that's out there watching this, please make sure to like, subscribe, and follow Gerald Celente's X account and also this YouTube page, please, so because we want the word to get out there that you don't see in the mainstream media. And also, please follow scottritter.substack.com. We're going to provide a link below. And please also follow the Trends Journal. We're giving you history before it happens. And it is unsurpassed news analysis and trend forecasts that you will not get anywhere else. So again, we have the link below. Give it a shot. It's no risk. We give you what, again, you're not going to get anywhere else. So it's trendsjournal.com. Again, that link will be also below. It's a weekly magazine. So we thank you for watching. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
His many accurate forecasts include the 1987 stock market crash, the dot-com bust, the gold bull run, the rise of organic foods, and even the popularity of gourmet coffee long before Starbucks was a household name.
Get the Trends Journal, the best investment you could make, because it's the best investment into your mind and it can change how you look at the world.
Over the last 30 years, Gerald Celente has been more accurate about predicting what would be happening than anyone else I'm aware of.
The Trends Journal is one of the greatest sources of information, and it really is. You're predicting these things well ahead of time. I would encourage everyone to go grab the latest copy.
Sir, everything you predicted about the economy, you are absolutely right. So I have followed you all this time, so please take a look at the Trends Journal.
Gerald Celente, the top trends forecaster in the world. Gerald, you had an interesting call back in September of last year. You said gold had bottomed, which is exactly what happened. And here we are, and we're above $1,900.
Are you prepared for what's next?